Amen. Give him praise today. Hallelujah. I love that part of that video. It says, we're here to point people to Jesus, and I want to point you to him today. I'm telling you, I'm so full. His presence is already in this place this morning. How many of you know him as a waymaker today? Come on, how many of you know him as a waymaker? Is there anybody in the house that knows him as a provider, as a healer today? I believe we should stand on our feet this morning. Come on, in this place. If you know him, if your life is a living testimony of his faithfulness, why don't you lift your hands in this room right now and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say, thank you, Jesus. Let's stir up some faith and some gratitude in this place. Thank you, Father, that you are our way maker. Lord, that you are our healer, that you are our provider. That is who you are. And we thank you for the privilege today to be called your children and to be on your team. We're on the team of a champion. We're on the team of an overcomer today. We love you and we praise you and we ask you to have your way and move in this place. And everybody said amen, amen, amen. Why don't you high five three or four people as you're seated today? You can be seated in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. 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 Well, there was a preacher. Somebody say a preacher. There was a preacher trying to sell his horse. A potential buyer came to the church for a test ride. He said, before you start, the preacher said, you should know that this horse only responds to church talk. He said, go is praise the Lord. And stop is amen. So the man gets on the horse and says, praise the Lord. And the horse starts to trot. The man again says, praise the Lord. And the horse starts to gallop. Suddenly, there was a cliff right in front of the horse. And the man yells, amen. And the horse stops just at the edge of the cliff. The man wipes the sweat from his brow. He says, whoo, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we know what we're to say, but it sometimes loses its meaning. Amen. Amen. Hey, smile at me today. Smile at me today. All right. All right. I am glad to be here today, and I thank God for the opportunity that he's given me and Pastor Scott to believe in and given me to speak to you today. I'm telling you, this is burning in my soul this morning, and I've got a word. I believe I've got a word straight from the throne room today. So I want you to jump into this thing with me. I want you to help me preach. Y'all know how I am, all right? I'm a shouter. All right, I can scream it and I can yell it, but sometimes I want to say it, but I need your help. Amen? Amen, amen. Well, today is October 1st. Can you believe that? Can you believe today is October? Where did 2017 go? Fall is here, and there's many things I love about fall, but one of the main things I love, the main reason is football. Are there any men in the house and maybe some ladies that says, woo, woo, yeah, football is here. Football is here. College or pro, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me as long as there's a game on the TV. Large men will face off across a line of scrimmage. A call will be made, leather will slap, and bodies will collide and crash. A battle has begun, and for four 15-minute quarters, men will expend enormous amounts of energy and Herculean efforts to move a piece of pigskin up and down a field of grass. And in the end, one team will emerge as the winners. Now, the winner of each team will be the team that I believe will exhibit four specific traits. The team that has prepared the most. The team that is the most disciplined. The team that has the most endurance. And the team that is willing to finish strong. In football, many people play the game, but there are only a few that rise to the status of a champion. What separates a championship team from the team that has a worse record? I believe it's preparation. I believe it's discipline. I believe it's endurance and the desire to finish strong. All applied. This is important. This is the key day in and day out. Vince Lombardi, former coach of the Green Bay Packers and the winning coach of Super Bowl I, he said this. He said, winning is not a sometime thing. He said, it's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. He said, winning is a habit, but unfortunately, so is losing. Every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. He said every inch of him has to play the game. And Church of Hope, I want you to know that another game is being played today, even this very moment, and you are a part of this game. But like the Super Bowl, your game is continuous and it has eternal consequences. Yet, like the NFL, only a few Christians will rise to the level of play exhibited by a Super Bowl champion. So my question for you today is, what does it take to be a champion Christian? What separates a champion from, as I like to say, a bush leaguer? What separates a champion from a bush leaguer? What traits or plays can we use to help us win in this game of life? And that's what I want to talk to us today about. What traits or plays can we use to help us win in the game that we're in as a church called life? Number one, and I want you to take notes, all right? You know, Pastor Scott said, if you take notes, you'll be blessed, all right? You'll get a bigger mansion in heaven. So write it down. All of that's in front of you. But I want you to help me. I want you to help me preach this morning. The trait or play, first of all, of preparation. Somebody say preparation. Hebrews 12:1, it says this. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I submit to you this morning, church, that the game of life isn't necessarily won on the field. The game of life isn't necessarily won on the field. Games aren't won on game day. We think that. We watch them, and we're like, man, these guys are dealing. They're hitting they're just on all cylinders. Games aren't won on game day. Games are won in the weight room. Games are won in the film room. Games are run in the locker room. And Paul was talking to us about taking inventory. He was talking about us to look within. Checking your heart. This is what Paul said. He said, lay aside every encumbrance. Lay aside every burden. Lay aside everything burden. Anything that's going to hold you back. Anything that's going to try to stop you, anything that's going to try to hinder you from moving forward and to having God's best. He said, lay aside every encumbrance. And I came to tell somebody today that the enemy wants to trip you up and wants to do whatever he can to cause you to quit and get out of the game. That is his purpose in life. He wants to cause you to fall, and he wants to cause you to throw in the towel. But I want us to help encourage one another in this house this morning. Tell somebody around you, tell four or five people, look at them in the eye and say, stay in the game. Come on, tell somebody this morning. Come on, tell somebody else, stay in the game. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. I believe there's power in preparation. Long before game time, we must start preparing. Long before David, you look at the life of David. Long before David was king, David killed Goliath. Long before David killed Goliath, he killed the lion and the bear. Long before David was anointed by the prophet Samuel, he was out in the field worshiping. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. David was a worshiper. David was a praiser. And even in times when you look at David's life, even in times when he failed and he made the wrong choices, he still knew to look to God. The enemy wanted David to get out of the game. The enemy's plan was to mess David up. The enemy's plan was to get David off track and get him out of the game. But David stayed in the game. Come on and shout, stay in the game. Come on. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. David said this. He said in Psalm 139, 23 through 24, he said, "Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Proverbs 4 and 23, it says it like this. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And I love the Message translation of that. It says, keep vigilant watch over your heart, because that's where life starts. That's where life starts. Where you set your heart at the beginning is going to determine where you end up and how you finish. I want to say that again. Where you set your heart at the beginning is going to determine where you end up and how you finish. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. Out of your heart flows relationship. Out of your heart flows worship. Guard your heart. Church, we must make preparation to guard our heart, all right? To take inventory, that we stand before God without spot or without blemish, that we have hearts that are after God. And David knew that. The second trait or play that we need to be a champion Christian is daily disciplines. Come on, say it with me. Daily disciplines. Daily disciplines. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 through 27, he said, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. He said, I discipline my body like an athlete. One other translation, if you read it, it said, I beat my body into submission. I beat my body into submission. All right? I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Discipline, I believe discipline is the fuel of success. Discipline is the fuel of success. You may be the prettiest car in the showroom, but if you don't have fuel, if you don't have gas, you're not going to go nowhere. Amen? You're not going to go anywhere. Without discipline in the Christian life, you will never grow. You will forever be doomed as a spiritual weakling. And I don't believe that it's God's purpose and plan for the people of Church of Hope, because our heart is to make Jesus famous in this city. Amen? Our heart is to lift Jesus up. So we have to set some boundaries. We have to set some daily things in our life, some daily disciplines that are going to cause us to grow. Unless giftedness is coupled with a work ethic, it will result in wasted potential. In other words, it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter, all right? It doesn't matter of how smart you are. You must, that giftedness, it doesn't matter how talented you are. There has to be a strong work ethic, or it's going to be wasted potential. In other words, I like to say it like this. Sometimes we can't just pray as if it depends solely on God. We also have to work as if it depends on us. All right? The writer said, faith without works is what? Is dead. Sometimes, all right, we've got to have faith, but we have to step out and do what God has created and what God has called us to do. I love what Matthew 6 and 33 says. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. I believe where we get off track is we start seeking the things first. We start seeking wealth. We start seeking fame. We start seeking fortune. And then sometimes when that falls apart, then we cry out to Jesus. Well, thank God he still hears us. Thank God he still works on our behalf. But he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then after we do that, church, after we put him first in our lives, then all these things shall be added into you. It's the small choices that no one sees that will result in the big impact that everybody wants. It's the small choices that no one sees you make in your life that result in the impact that everyone wants. Some people are willing to pay the price. Some people are willing to do, to put in the work that needs to be put in to see God's will, God's purpose, or your dreams and your desires, what he's placed inside of you, to come to fruition. All right? Sometimes you don't know the strain. You don't know the struggle that somebody else has had to go through in life to get them where they are. We look at people and we say, man, they got it made. They got all the money in the world. They got all the wealth in the world. Man, everybody knows their name, but you don't know the heartache. You don't know the trial. You don't know the test that somebody had to go through to get where they are. It's the small choices no one sees that result in the big impact that everybody wants. In 25 years of ministry, there has been many a conversation that I've had with people. And one thing I've found out is that a lot of people don't want to pay the price. A lot of people don't want to put in the work. A lot of people don't want to go above and beyond. You ask people, or they come to you for counseling, or because we all have problems, all right? We all need to grow in the Lord. But you ask people, well, have you been in His Word? Well, no. Have you opened up the Word this week? Not really. I don't think it's relative. Or how about this month? Have you opened up the Word? No. Okay, well, have you prayed? Driving down the road once in a while. Have you worshiped? Have you opened yourself up to Him? And have you gotten His presence? Guys, you have to be willing to put in the work. I'm not saying be a perfect Christian, because believe me, I think we've all been there. Amen? We've all been there. We've all where we went days, and sometimes it may be a week or two where we really haven't sought first the kingdom of God. You know, this could be the greatest year of our lives, but we have to win the day. This could be the greatest year of our lives. We have to win the day. We have to win the week. We have to win the month. We can win the year. No one achieves his or her dreams without daily disciplines being put in place. An undisciplined life never leads to productivity or progress. You think about it. An undisciplined life never leads to productivity or progress. I love what the famous basketball coach John Wooden said. He said, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. He said, win the day and make each day your masterpiece. I love that. I love that. Win the day. Sometimes we get so concerned about next week or next month, we forget that God wants us to win the day. Amen? This battle, this right here in this present moment. He said, make each day your masterpiece. When I was growing up, and I think I've told some of you this, or you've heard this part of my testimony, I loved baseball. I loved baseball. And from probably 4 years old, I don't know, my dad, we would go outside, and every day, we would start tossing the baseball, every day. Matter of fact, I've got three baseball gloves right here that are probably, each one is about 40 years old. These were my gloves from a small child. I said this one right here, I think you can still see, I wrote in pen, Mark Groover, 912-427-6288. That's my mom and daddy's number. That's still their number. every day, Dad would take me out there, and he'd start. He'd say, all right, today, he said, well, you're going to catch five in a row. All right, we'd go. I'd catch three. I'd drop it. Nope, let's start over. Let's start over. I want to get you to five. I'd catch five. He said, all right, let's go. We're going to catch 10 in a row. All right, I'd go, and I'd get about seven. I'd drop the ball. All right, and then he said, nope, we're going to start over. I don't want to start over. Nope, we're going to start over. You're going to catch 10 in a row. Then we go from 10, and then we go from 20. And then as I grew, we started, I got a love for pitching. That was my thing. I wanted to play in college. I wanted to play in the major leagues. That was my heart. Thank God that he chose to change that path. All right, when I was a senior in high school. But dad was teaching me daily disciplines. Every day I had a heart to pitch, and we'd go out, we'd go to the field, and I'd start throwing, I'd start pitching. And I wish I had the catcher's mitt. I couldn't find it. That every day he'd use, it was broken. The web of it is broken, because the older I got, the harder I started throwing. And the older daddy got, he's like, son, I don't think I can do this anymore. We started throwing, but every day we put in the work. We had to be disciplined. And then there was mama on the other hand who said, son, you can play sports, but you're going to play the piano. And every day from about 4 or 5 years old, she'd set the timer for 30 minutes, and I'd be 15 minutes. Oh, is it about over? I'd be 20 minutes. Oh, 25, 30 minutes every day, because she wanted me. A simple thing, she wanted me to be disciplined, to have some discipline in my life. And church, we have to do that. All right? It may not be in baseball, it may not be in music, but how do we win? How do we win? How do we win the battle that you may be sitting in today? All right, we have to have daily disciplines in place. How do we win? We win in preparation. We win with discipline. We win with the weapons of worship and prayer. When times get hard, we've got to know what to do when the enemy comes to test, when the enemy comes to make us give up or quit. If we have those daily disciplines in place, it's going to help us overcome the battle. Amen? When Jesus has already given us the victory, when times get hard, we need to dive into him. When times get hard, we need to worship him harder. When times get hard, we need to get into the word. When times get hard, we need to speak life over our situations. When time gets hard, when times get hard and he wants you to throw in the towel, we need to stay in the game. Somebody shout, stay in the game. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. Whatever you are going after in life, we will have to prove ourselves one swing, one pitch, one rehearsal, one practice, one day at a time, day in and day out. And I want to say it like this. The more you pray, the less you'll panic. The more you worship, the less you'll worry. The more you pray, the less you'll panic. The more you worship, the less you'll worry. Start now. Be faithful here and now so that you will be fruitful there in the next place. So many people say, I'm not going to do it today. I'll put it off for tomorrow. Not today, tomorrow, or not next year, all right? I'll do it next year. When 2018 gets here, I'll make a promise. I'm going to start off right. Not at the new place. Well, I'm not going to do it at this season in my life. I'm going to do it at the new place. No, somebody needs to start now. Stay in the game. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. Don't lose hope. Start now. Start now. Stay in the game. The third trait or play that I believe we must have is the trait of endurance. Say that with me. Say endurance. 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 Hebrews 12 and 1 says this. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance. We've talked about that. And the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with what? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance means the ability or strength to continue despite fatigue. despite stress, despite adverse conditions, the capacity to bear up under difficult circumstances, hopeful fortitude that resists weariness. It means to remain under. So I want to tell you today, God is not always going to pull us out of circumstances where we feel pressured. So many times we want God to take us out of the fire, or we want God to take us out of the storm, when sometimes he may be saying, no, I want you to learn to trust me. I want you to learn that I'm above the storm. I want you to learn that I'm able to bring you out of fire, because you don't build endurance in the path of least resistance. You only build endurance when there is resistance. You only build endurance when there is pressure. He wants to use your circumstance and test to make you look to him. And I'll say it like this: pressure releases the precious. Pressure releases the precious. What is in you? What is in us when storms come? What is in us when the test comes? And I'm telling you, I've been the world's worst. There have been times in my life where the test comes, the trials come, and what come out of me was fear. What come out of me was confusion. What come out of me was doubt. But I believe God wants, what he wants to place inside of us is more of him, is joy, is peace, is trusting in him. If life was always easy, I would begin to think, I've got the power. Come on, somebody. If life was always easy, I'd begin to think, I got this. I'm good. I don't need no help. But Jesus wants us to look to him. Jesus wants to help us stay in the game. That's what the power of praise does. If it helps you refocus. Somebody say refocus. It helps you refocus and look to him. Look at verse 2, Hebrews 12 and 2. He started off, he said, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Sometimes you have to praise God. You've heard me say this probably many times. Sometimes you have to praise God on credit. Sometimes you have to praise God in spite of what it might look like in the natural. Sometimes you have to praise God for what he is going to do. And I love the story of Paul and Silas in Acts 16. Paul and Silas were in prison. Paul and Silas were beaten. Paul and Silas were chained. Now, how many of you would say, now that's a bad day? Now, that's a bad circumstances. They were chained, but they were praising God at the top of their lungs. That's kind of how I praise God. Y'all know that about me by now. I praise God at the top of my lungs. All right, that's how I praise the Lord. And that's what Paul and Silas were doing when they were in prison. Why? Because they trusted God to do something good. Praise is not a denial of our circumstances, but it declares that God is faithful and trustworthy regardless of the situation. It's not a denial of what's going on of reality. It's not a denial of what we see, but it acknowledges that there's somebody bigger, that there's somebody who's working on our behalf. Amen? Paul and Silas had endurance, and their praise preceded the victory. Praise precedes the victory. And not only did their chains come loose, this is what I love about God. All right, when he's moving and when he's working in our life, church, not only did their chains come loose, but for everyone around them, their chains were loosened, and the Bible says that the prison doors were opened. Amen? Amen. Your praise will not only bring you out, But your praise has the power, your praise has the ability to bring somebody else out with you. They endured. Your praise has the ability. Somebody may be sitting on your row and they may know all hell is breaking loose in your life. But I promise you, if you will begin to press in, I promise you, if you will begin to lift up the name of Jesus, God will bring you out, and he will, your outlook on your situation will change, and it might be the very key that he wants to use to bring your neighbor out. Amen. It broke their chains. It loosened their chains. But it did it for those around them, the other prisoners there. Praise preceded the victory. You may be down, but you're not out. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. Don't give up. Don't quit. 5 years ago, Gina and I wanted to give up and quit. We were in transition. And we've been here 4 years, and we were praying, and we're like, God, if this is ministry, we don't want any part of it. All right, at that time we started. We're like, I hate the transition word. And when people started talking transition, we just got tight. We just kind of drew up. We hated it. And there were times in our life during that transition that we felt like getting out of ministry, that we felt like throwing in the towel, that we felt like giving on God. But I'm thankful that we decided to stay in the game. I'm thankful that we decided to trust God, because God had a bigger plan. Amen? And there was fruit that come out of that test. There was fruit that come out of that trial. We endured. We endured, and the Lord wants you to know, endure, endure, trust Him, trust Him. You need endurance. If we're going to win in the game of life, church, we've got to have endurance. You've got to hold on. You've got to put your trust and your faith in God. And lastly, the fourth thing, the last trait, the last play that we need to help us win in the game of life is the trait to finish strong. Somebody say that with me. Finish strong. Say this. Say, I'm going to finish strong in the name of Jesus. I'm going to finish strong. The writer of Hebrews 12, verse 3, he said it like this. He said, for consider him. Consider. Look. Take your focus off of you and consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I want to encourage somebody today, don't grow weary. Don't stop. Don't lose heart. Paul said in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, he said, not that I have already obtained all of this, or I have already arrived at my goal, but I press, somebody shout press, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The enemy wants you to tire out. The enemy wants somebody to throw in the towel. The enemy wants you to lose heart. The enemy wants you to give up. But we need to keep praising, church. We need to keep pressing, church. When you fall, get back up again. When you fail, forget about it and move forward. The battle has already been won. Somebody shout, stay in the game. 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 God is not in heaven freaking out about what is happening on the earth. He's not saying, oh God, what? He said, well, wait a minute, I am God. That's me. OMG, I'm God. I'm God. He's not freaking out about the moral state, the economic state, or the political state that we find ourselves in. He is still on the throne, and I love what the Bible says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Jesus Christ, he's already won the battle. He's already won the victory. So you and I are running from the victory, not for it. The victory is already ours. He's already placed it in our hands. We're running from it, not for it. We have read the end of the book, and just in case you're wondering, it says we win. Come on, it says we win. We win, not because of who we are. We win because of whose we are. Because of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we win. Because of the resurrection on the third day, we win. That same power that caused Jesus to get up out of the grave. All right, and we say that like it's some mythical thing, but that same power, guys, it is in this place this morning. And it is placed on the inside of you. If you have accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior, that same power rests in you and it rests in me. Don't focus on the frustration or the struggle. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. No matter what situation or circumstance you find yourself in right now, you can look at it from a position of victory. No matter what you're facing right now, no matter what you're going through right now in your life, church, you can look at it. You have the ability, because it's not by your might and it's not by your power, but it's by the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. You can look at that situation through a place of victory. And that gives us hope. That gives us hope. Focus on Jesus. Give Him your praise. Not the test. Not the situation. Not the struggle. Give Him your praise. Praise helps you do that. It makes Jesus bigger than your hurt. It makes Jesus bigger than your failure. It makes Jesus bigger than your fears. We have the ability to look up at the scoreboard of life. And it may seem like the enemy is winning. Like the enemy's got the upper hand, but I want to encourage somebody, hold on. Hold on. Come on, say it with me, hold on. Hold on. I love what the prophet Micah said in Micah 7 and 8. He says, enemy, he spoke to the enemy, enemy, don't crow over me. I'm down, but I'm not out. And I feel like somebody needs to declare that in your life this morning. I might be down right now, Satan, but I'm not out, because I know the battle's already been won. The spirit of victory is alive and in my life. Don't give up. Don't quit. Stay in the game. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, he said, I have fought. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Who wants to be able to say that at the end of your journey? Come on, I have fought the fight. I fought the fight. I've stayed in the game. I've stayed in this race, and I've kept the faith. A good coach encourages his team to never quit trying, to never quit playing. You don't know what's going to happen to your opponent. A lot of games have been won in the last minute. I sat there and watched four games last weekend, four or five games. It was like the last minute and last 30 seconds where you thought somebody won and it turned around like that. All right, that's in the natural, but it's the same for your life. A lot of games are happening. You need to hold on. You need to trust God. You need to put your faith in Him. You need to make preparation in your heart. You need to put daily disciplines in your life that are going to cause you to be a champion. You need to endure, and you need to finish strong. Your victory could be around the corner. Your victory could be just around the corner. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. Vince Lombardi, he said this. He said, the difference between a successful person and others, he said, it's not the lack of strength. He said, it's not a lack of knowledge. He said, but rather, it's a lack of will. It's not a lack of strength. It's not a lack of knowledge, but rather a lack of will. I said it earlier. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You're not rich enough. You're not wealthy enough. But Jesus is. Jesus is. We must finish strong. We must finish strong. Why don't you stand with me tonight? This morning, excuse me. All over this house. Finish strong. Stay in the game. When we go so long without practice, without showing up at church, without spending time in God's Word and spending time in His presence, we lose our edge and become ineffective as players and ineffective in serving God. Maybe you are on the sidelines this morning. I feel like there are people in this place today that you're on the sideline contemplating quitting the whole game. You may think to yourself that it's just too hard to continue and move forward. It's never going to happen. So why don't I just get out of the game? But I want to encourage you today, our great coach, Jesus Christ, He's calling to you today. He's calling to us. And He wants us to get off the bench. He wants us to get in the field. He wants you to get in the game, and He wants you to stay in the game. You can do it. Bow your heads with me this morning. I'm going to ask our altar workers and those that are prepared to serve communion, if you'll go, come on and come on out today. I believe we have possibly two different groups of people that are here today. I believe there are those of you who are here this morning who you've never even been in the game. You've been in the stands and you've been a spectator, and you don't know this coach, or you don't know this Jesus Christ that I've been preaching to you about, that wants you to be a champion, that wants you to win. And so I believe today all you have to say is, yes, Lord, I hear your call. Yes, Lord, I'm willing. Yes, Lord, I want to get out of the stands. Yes, Lord, I want to get on the field of life, and I want to get in the game of life. And I want to win. I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay. I believe those people are here, and I believe there are people, you're here today, and you're in the game. I believe there are a lot of people, you're in the game. But I believe that you're weary, and I believe you're tired. And I believe you want to throw in the towel, and I believe you want to give up. But I want to encourage you this morning, hold on. Hold on. Press in. Don't give up. Stay connected to Jesus. He'll give you the strength, and He'll move in your life today. So I want everybody in this place to pray this prayer with me, the prayer of the person who has not stepped on the field, the prayer of the person who needs to accept Jesus in it all. I want us, everybody, let's just encourage. And if that's you today, I want you to pray it loud and strong. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I renounce my past. I give you today, and I give you my tomorrows. I want to get in the game. I want to stay in the game. I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to make you ruler of my life. I surrender all. I surrender all. And I give you this day and this moment from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Can you give Him praise for that today? Come on. Amen. 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 If that's you, listen. Listen, if that's you, if you've decided, hey, Mark, I want to get in the game. All right, I've been in the stand. I want you to leave this place. I want you to come to this altar. But when you leave this altar, I want you to go to that fresh start table. All right, that's what we've been preaching. That's what we've been leaving. I want you to sign up and say, hey, I want to take the first step, and I want to be baptized. And I want to go further than that, and I want to go through growth track, and I want to get connected to Jesus, and I want to get connected to people that are for me and going to help me champion my life. I want you to sign up. Don't let anybody or anything stop you from doing that. Amen? Amen. Go to that fresh start. And so what I'm going to do now, I'm going to open up these altars, and I want to call. I want those people who said, I'm in the game, but I'm weary. I'm in the game, but I'm tired. I'm in the game, but I'm hurting. I'm in the game, but I need some strength today. I feel like there are some senior saints that you're in this room today, and you're in the game, but you've grown tired. You've grown weary. You feel like giving up. You feel like just throwing in the towel. I want to encourage you. Stay in the game. Hold on. Hold on. And we want to pray with you this morning. We want to agree with you today. There is communion to your left and to your right. And we want to pause and we want to stop and we want to remember the greatest sacrifice that could ever be made. And that is the blood of Jesus, and that is his body that was broken. His blood that was spilled for us today. So as we pray and as we continue to worship this morning, I'm going to ask you to step out today and let's take communion. If you're here today and you need some encouragement, you want somebody to agree with you, I want you to come forward to this altar. If you're here today and you're not in the game, come forward to this altar. Tell somebody, I chose today to get in the game. I chose to get in the game. I chose to make him my Savior and him my Lord. Let's do it now in Jesus' name. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this day. Have your way in this altar service. Lord, I pray a spirit of surrender in this place today. I pray that you would go with us. I pray that you would rain down your favor and your blessings in our life, Lord. And we want to make you Lord of our entire life. We want you to move. We want you to work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, we're on your team. We're on the team of a champion. In God's name, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. Come forward. Let's praise him. Let's worship him this morning. Thank you, Jesus.